Good evening. If you'd like to follow along with our lesson this evening, by chance, it all comes from Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. It was a while back we were studying this and studying something, and I saw this passage and I thought, inexcusable, inexcusable. And I'm thinking, that's a pretty strong word, you know? I don't know whether I have ever told my wife she's inexcusable or something she has done is inexcusable. I don't think she's ever told me that either. But it's a very strong word. So it made me think for a minute. Of course, I don't know what other versions have, but that's what the New King James Version has in the first line of this passage. Our lesson's going to come from verses 1 through 16 this evening of Romans. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now, just Googling or using your word search in the Bible, inexcusable is only going to come up one time. It's right here in this spot. Is anybody using a different version? They use a different word?
No excuse.
No excuse. No excuse. Okay. Inexcusable. And whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. You who practice such or practice the same things. Folks, I bring this lesson up for us this evening because Satan tempts us with this. Whether it's in word or deed, you know, I continue to use, we all drive. Now, if we was on horse and buggies, I'd be talking about horses and buggies, okay, and using those as an example, but we don't. We drive back and forth to work, back and forth, you know, as we're retired, just, you know, eating breakfast and just looking at scenery and stuff like that. I know it better than that, but sounds good, doesn't it? But as we, you know, one of the best ways to practice our Christianity is when we're driving. It is. We're tempted and tried when we drive. I don't know, you know. And you know, guess what? My wife does. Bob, have you ever seen me drive other than right here? No. No. Tom? No. I don't know. DC is the only one that's rode with me, I think, outside of that. And actually, I think I was showing him the Camaro, the new Camaro, when I bought it a while back. Don't have that anymore. But it's a way in which we represent the kingdom of heaven when we're not around other people. And the world sees us. Now, I dare say there's times in people's lives when they've told other people they're number one with hand gestures and they're Christians. Folks, it ought not to be so with us. Okay? And if we struggle with that, you know what? Jesus said, if your eye, I'm not recommending that you cut your finger off like the mobster. But I am recommending that you work hard on controlling yourself when we drive. It's tough. It's tough. So apply this verse to that. Because you know what? It's inexcusable to do this at somebody when you're driving down the interstate as a Christian. It is. We need to. Folks, how many times do you think Jesus did that walking down the road? No, he would stop and help. Okay? The Good Samaritan story. Folks, we need to make sure if we're going to commit it and we really believe and buy in on being alive in Christ and dead to sin, we got to self-examine ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it, folks. Nobody else is going to do it. I ask you, if you go to work, Tony, is there anybody that's going to tell you to do what I'm telling you and recommending you do out of the Bible? No, we're just going to learn it here together. This stuff reminds me, too, what I need to be doing, folks. But if we don't hear it here and we don't study God's Word and apply it to our lives to be better, we're not getting it anywhere else. I know I kind of looked at some of the lessons, you know, and I mean, man, I'm kind of, I don't know, as Sister Judy says, stepping on toes, you know? And you know what? Some people come in here and wear steel-toed shoes to Sunday service all the time. Because it don't bother them a bit. Oh, that's not fair, Judy. That's all that. But what I'm getting at, folks, is that helps us. It helps God mold our hearts. Reading His Word and saying, you know what? Folks, they're not, there's, you know, just, we can go on and on and on with judging other people about other things. And one of the best ways that we can practice self-control and turn things over to God and turn things over to Jesus is to be able to not condemn other people for those things. Nothing worse than saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, and an hour later you do the same thing. Is that right, brother? Somebody. It is, folks. It's humbling. Don't want to say that. Don't want to be able to say, forgive me. But if we look at this, and folks, it really makes a difference representing the kingdom of heaven. It really makes a difference and having that joy, joy, joy down in your heart. There's nothing worse than losing your temper and acting like somebody you don't like or saying something that you don't want to say because you said, that's not right. I wouldn't do that. I would never say that. And yet, it's just like the old story. You see that finger pointing at them other people? How many of them is pointing right back at me? One, two, three. One, two, three. And I don't know, this one's out here, the thumb's out there somewhere. I don't know what it's doing. But folks, it's a great lesson for Jesus, from Jesus, to be able to recognize our shortcomings. And it does not elevate us in any fashion. We do not escape judgment by pronouncing judgment on other people. Now, there's places in the Bible that talks about judging righteous judgment. But that's just making good decisions. That's not going around being judge, jury, and executioner. That's not what that means. Continuing on in the passage. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? I talked just a minute ago about us coming back and looking at God's Word and applying it to our lives. To say, you know what, that's me. I need to work on that. I need not to do that. But you know what? I highlighted despise and not knowing. Folks, what, you know, you can call me a lot of things. You can even call me late for supper because there's typically always something left over. It's not like when I was growing up, you know. There's just enough made for everybody to eat. And if there's any leftovers, Dad got first dibs on it. You know, and then the kids after the fact, you know. There's always leftovers, so you can call me late to dinner, that's fine. But to say that I despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering by pronouncing judgment on other people, by being judgmental. When we do that, you know, Paul writes to the Romans and says, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Folks, one of the things I've done when I talk back about driving up and down the road is just praying for people. You know, I've witnessed, I don't know what Brother Phil has, but I've witnessed some horrific wrecks on the interstate just driving back and forth to work. You know, and some of them I've seen them transpire. People perish. And I'm wondering what is so important that they are out of control? What is so important that they were distracted? And to recognize that at any moment somebody around us can be making life-changing or life-ending mistakes. We need to show goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. We need to pray for those people. We need to be the people that are exemplary with the kingdom of heaven. We need to be the people that are examples. Nothing worse than having a day in the kingdom of heaven and despising goodness, despising forbearance, despising long-suffering. Folks, these are character traits that are monumental in success in this life. But you're not going to hear that necessarily. You know, in the business world, the strong survive, strong get stronger. Money is power. But folks, in the kingdom of heaven, goodness is power. Forbearance and long-suffering are the riches. Gee whiz, that'd be a good lesson, wouldn't it? Riches and... Oh, we had that last week. That's right. Folks, can you imagine us taking for granted not knowing the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Folks, I don't know about you. Well, other than Bob... You know, I'm the only one in here that doesn't have to say I'm sorry very much. Just kidding. Repent. I make that point to say, repentance is hard, folks. You know, those of us that are still married, you know. I'm sorry. It's in little things, you know. Little things. I'm sorry. Now, if Kelly and I sit down and wrote out everything we decided we want to change about each other, we've been married 29 years, going on 29 years, okay? How big a list do you think that'd be? She'd write a masterpiece. And I'd just slide the paper back over with nothing on it. It's a good story. My story, I tell anyway. But folks, when we deal with each other in our lives, do we want to hand each other a sheet with all these things on it? You need to change. I don't like this. This bothers me. This ruins my day. This robs me of my joy. Or do we hand them a piece of paper? It's blank. I love you, man, no matter what. I love you no matter what. Folks, we struggle with the people we're married to that we love and care about the most and spend the most time with. We struggle with handing them that clean piece of paper. Blank. But you know what? That's what God does every day to us. Here's your new blank piece of paper. Here's your new blank piece of paper. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. I don't remember those things. I will remember them no more. That's tough in a marriage, folks. That's tough in a marriage. But as Jesus is our example, knowing that that makes us stronger to be able to forgive and try to remember no more. Or, excuse me, when Satan brings that up, hey, don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. I had that happen to me last night. We're driving up to Lafayette. We're driving up to Lafayette, and something previously happened that just bothers the tar out of me. It wasn't a sin, just a situation and the way somebody treated me and somebody I thought was, you know, a fairly good friend and work cohort. And he lived up that area, and I worked with him for years up there. I saw him in Indy for a little bit, and something happened. I'm like, basically, he was parking in a spot he's not supposed to park in, and I had to tell him he had to move. And he got all angry about me and never didn't want to talk to me ever again. I was doing my job, you know. But from that perspective, for things to come back to our memory and remind us of things that we You know, sometimes we can't change things that happen. They still affect us emotionally. Things other people did, other people said, you know, or we know about. Horrific things that we know about, folks. We got to say, Satan, get behind me. Because he'll pull them up all the time. He'll distract you and rob your joy all day long. Because he despises the riches of goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, repentance. That's a problem with Satan. All these things, Jesus came to the earth and said, hey, you need to be doing these things. This is what God's really like. He does the complete opposite. I want you to hate. I want you to have vengeance. I want you to not suffer nothing. I don't want you to be patient at all. I want you to be like a snake, a serpent. How, you know, rattle, rattle, bite. Rattle, rattle, bite. No wonder. That's where Satan was supposed to be. Folks, let's follow our Savior and our Master as we walk through this world with him. Continuing in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but in accordance with the hardness of your heart and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Treasuring up for yourself, rendering to each one according to his deeds, patient continuance, self-seeking, and do not obey the truth. Folks, some of the things I've just talked about, that blank piece of paper. Obeying the truth is giving each other a clean sheet of paper just like Jesus does every day. And you know it's tough. It's so tough because the people we work with and the people we drive up and down the road with don't even understand that. They don't even know the Savior that's given us a clean sheet every day. They don't. But we've got to do that. To rise above, to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. To give him glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good. Folks, we talk about wanting peace and we pray for peace in our lives. And we want peace for our kids and our grandkids. But the best way that we can get peace is following Jesus. You want to talk about bringing peace to a marriage? You know what? I may even do this next week. I may bring in a whole rack, ream of paper, and I'm going to hand everybody out a blank piece of paper. So coming Monday morning, you can hand each other a blank piece of paper first thing Monday morning. I love you. All the things are forgotten and forgiven. Let's start this day anew. And when those papers wear out, I'm going to hand out another one. Maybe I just do that every Sunday. I'm going to hand out blank pieces of paper. You're forgiven. Go forgive somebody else. You're forgiven. Go forgive somebody else. Folks, I need to be reminded of that. Because it's easy to fall into self-righteousness. Because you're doing a good thing. Because you are following Jesus. Because you are in the way. But we got to remember that we are examples. We take for granted that, you know, this person goes to this church and this person, you know, is a good person at work and this person's, you know. But folks, we are still the best representatives of the kingdom of heaven that people are going to come in contact with. For there is no partiality with God. In the next verse, Folks, it's a blessing that he's that way. Because you know what? If God operated the way the world did, there'd be a little cut out of a mold right here. One for women, one for men. And everybody'd have to walk through that mold. And it'd have to be just picture perfect. And not one of us would fit. And sometimes we have those molds in our lives of how somebody should act and how somebody should be and how somebody should treat us. And it's different for people that are rich, different for people that are poor, different for people that we love and different for strangers, different for those that are of the kingdom of heaven and different for those that are lost. But with God, there is no partiality. I'm going to go back to this illustration again, and I praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for this illustration. He continues to hand everybody the same clean slate every day of our lives. He doesn't say, Don, you made a mistake. You lost your temper. No sheep for you today. Live in no sins. Phil, that person that cut you off and slammed on their brakes, doesn't matter what you did, how justified you were, and they put your life in danger. Okay? Just because you want downshift and give her a little gas and help that person along a little bit. Folks, that's the great thing about the kingdom of heaven and about Jesus. It's the truth. It's never wavering. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Clean sheet of paper. Clean sheet of paper. You know, I could hand those clean sheets of paper out on Monday morning, or the next Sunday morning. Only people that are here tonight are going to know what they mean. I think I'm going to do that, and I'm going to ask all you that are here, unless anybody happens to listen to the lesson, okay? There's probably a couple that will. I'm going to hand them out next Sunday morning, and I ask you not to tell anybody what it's about, and I'll bring it to light, okay? Okay? Because I'm going to use that example again, somehow in a lesson next week. But folks, it's so true. It's so true. It's inexcusable not to hand somebody a clean piece of paper every day. That's what we ask for. That's what we plead for. I wish I had a clean sheet of paper. I keep showing this one's full of stuff, but, you know. There is no partiality with God. Thanks be to God for that. Okay, there, Brother DC. It's got lines on it. I'm just kidding. See, I couldn't take a clean sheet. I repent. I couldn't take it, you know. You see what I'm saying? We just do it. We got to change that. We got to continue. For as many have sinned without the law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although they have not law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. And between themselves, their thoughts accusing, or else accusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You know, I highlighted a couple things out of this, the last part of our passage this evening. For the hearers of the law are not just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. I repent, DC. I'm going to take that clean piece of paper. And as we look at this, you know, we can hear and hear and hear and hear and hear all we want and say, yeah, 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 yeah. But if we don't hand out that clean sheet of paper, if we do not do the things God's holy words direct us to do, we're not going to be as successful as we want to be. Satan's still directing our paths at times in our lives. It's a daily struggle to say, get behind me. It's a daily struggle to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I don't, maybe you guys all got it down and it's just, you know. You already got the fish in the boat. But to me, it's a daily struggle being able to say, Jesus, I want to do the right thing. Jesus, help me make a decision that's right. Jesus, help me give everybody I come in contact to with a clean sheet of paper in their lives. Let me be a doer of the law and be justified by forgiving everybody and be an example of the kingdom of heaven. And in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, Paul's gospel to the Romans was the good news. And that's what we're going to be judged according to. And that's why we love it so much, because we are looking into it and applying it to our lives. Because we are his children. And in closing this evening, we started out with talking about what's inexcusable. And we went through multiple things that talk about how we deal with each other, deal with our hearts, deal with other people, deal with strangers, deal with daily issues in our lives, folks. Let's make sure that we do things that are glorifying God. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. You who judge, practice the same things. Do you despise the riches of his glory, his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Eternal life to those who do good. Seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Eternal life. Are you treasuring up for yourself in the day of wrath? Patient continuance or self-seeking? And I think that's a neat way of saying this. Are you handing somebody a clean sheet of paper when you meet them every day? Or do you have a list that you got to get resolved? Or a list you know is never going to be resolved and you just keep shaking it in front of their face? Folks, Jesus says, I forget and never remember again. I will remember your sins no more. We need to follow in his footsteps. For there is no partiality with God. He gives us grace 100% and measures of love and everything he has promised us above and beyond what we could ever imagine. Not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Folks, what's your gospel? Paul says, hey, this is what the Holy Spirit's guided me to teach you folks and write to the Romans. A lot of those things are still applicable today. Folks, don't let anybody con you and tell you that God's word is dead and it doesn't apply and it's old fuddy-duddy, because it's not. Those are people that aren't in the spirit. They're not alive. They're dead to sin. Allow God's holy word to work in your life this week. May you be guided by his Holy Spirit and bring joy to your life. And bring glory and honor to the kingdom of heaven and God around you. If there's anything in the lesson tonight's touched your heart, we offer invitation either to become a Christian and follow him for the rest of your life, or to continue to work on the things that will help you glorify him as we stand and sing the selected hymn. Song number 21, right?
Oh.